One of my favorite things about this weekend, the festival weekend, is I get to witness a lot of families and friends just come together and enjoy being in each other's presence, enjoying having authentic fellowship with one another as a community of disciples. As I witness people reconnecting after probably not seeing each other very often, I'm reminded of the times I've been able to reconnect with some of my best friends in my life. One of my best friends, he's a priest by the name of Father Andrew Merrick. And a number of years ago, we were able to go on vacation together. We went to Florida. And after a week being together in Florida, we ended our vacation by going to Mass, by worshiping God together. And after we worshiped God, I said, "Hey, look, man, you've been driving this whole time. Like, why don't you let me drive on the way back home?" Now, for any of you who know me, you know I am directionally challenged. So I can't get around without a GPS, but I can drive pretty well. I've only had 4 accidents in the past year. but each one wasn't my fault, really. Each one, somebody hit me. And so we're at the church. I get in his mom's car. She had an SUV. She let us drive her car to Florida. And as I get in the driver's seat, I put the car in reverse. And I see something I've never seen in my life up to this point. This was back in 2011, and she had a backup camera. Now, I'd never seen this before. This was 2011. It wasn't very common. And so I see a backup camera as the car's in reverse, and I can see the cars behind me. So I'm like, "Dude, look, I can see the cars. Like, I don't have to look them over my shoulder, the rearview mirror. I'm able to look at this camera." And so I'm backing up, looking at the cars behind me. And as I get closer to the cars behind me, the car starts going deep, deep, deep. And then I hear this noise. And so I look up to find out where the noise is coming from. And as I look up, I'm like, "Man, where's that noise?" Boom. And I crashed. Like, I totally wrecked his mom's car into a truck. And so we get out the car, and Father Andrew just puts his hand in his head. He's like, "Oh my goodness, what have you done?" And I messed up his mom's car really bad. And so, of course, I went to confession, and I repented. I repented to God first and foremost because I was being negligent while driving in the parking lot, right? So first, I repented to God. "I'm sorry. I'm going to try to be a better driver. I'm going to pay more attention next time." But then we had to make that phone call to his mother. And so I called up Miss Kathy, and we told her what happened. And of course, I repented to Miss Kathy, his mom. Right? "I apologize. I'm sorry for having offended you, for having wronged you. I'm going to be reformed, right? I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to learn how to pay better attention whenever I'm driving." Now, if I would have just left it at that, an apology and a decision to be reformed, would that have brought her and I together? Would she have said, "Oh, it's cool, it's fine, it's okay. Let's reestablish mutual trust between each other because you're sorry for what you've done. Because you've chosen to change your life, let's go ahead and reestablish mutual trust." That's what we call reconciliation. No, because I still have not done one thing. What have I not done? I've not paid her back. I've not paid her back what I've taken away from her. I've not made it right. I've not offered up reparation for the wrong I've done to her. In order for us to reconcile with God, we need to repent. "Lord, I'm sorry." And repentance involves not only saying I'm sorry, but changing my ways, right? Being reformed. But that is not the way that we reconcile with the body of Christ. The way that we reconcile, we reestablish mutual trust with the body of Christ, it involves repentance, it involves reformation, but it also must involve reparation. I've got to make it right. If I've harmed you in any way, I've got to pay you back what I've taken away from you. And so once I finally paid Miss Kathy back, then she was able to reconcile with me. Right? She trusted that I was apologetic. She trusted that I was going to pay more attention while driving. And she trusted that if something were to happen in the future, I would be able to make it right, what wrong I have done. That's what we see in today's gospel. was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a known sinner. He was a tax collector, a wealthy tax collector. That meant that he took money away from the Jews and he gave it to the government. He was despised by the people in his community for the ways in which he had taken away from people who were already struggling just to get by. And then Jesus comes into his town. Everybody's talking about Jesus. He's working miracles at this point. They're seeing things that they have never seen before. They're hearing things they have never heard before. He wants to meet Jesus himself. And so he's a short man. He can't see Jesus. And so he humbles himself and he climbs on top of a sycamore tree. And Jesus sees him. And Jesus calls him to be in a relationship with him right there where he was. Still messy, still broken, still imperfect, still sinful. Come, Zacchaeus. Today I want to dine with you. I want to share a meal with you. I want to spend intentional time together, you and me. Zacchaeus comes into relationship with Jesus as he was. He didn't have to change to come to Jesus. He came to Jesus as he was. And when he came to Jesus as he was, being in relationship with Jesus changed him. Now he's all of a sudden sorry. For the first time in his life, he's repentant for what he has done. And to show that he is repentant for what he has done, he says, I'm going to give half of what I have. Half of my possessions, Lord, I'm going to give to the poor. Right? That shows I want to be in right relationship with God. But he did not allow it to stop there. He didn't just say, I want to have reconciliation with God. He also knew that God was calling him to be reconciled to his neighbor. And what does the gospel teach us? If you have an offense with somebody in the community, before you come to the altar, go and be reconciled with them. See, Zacchaeus, even though he was a sinful man, he knew the law. And in the law, book of Exodus, Exodus teaches us that if you have wronged your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, what you must do according to the law is you must repay them four times over. It's not enough to just say, hey, like I took $5 from you, I'm giving you $5 back. I'm going to give you four times what I've taken away from you according to the law. See, Zacchaeus recognized that in order for him to be reconciled with the community, he needed to apologize. I'm sorry for what I've done. I acknowledge it that it's hurt you. It wasn't good. He also recognized he needed to be reformed. That's why he was going to live a new lifestyle as a wealthy man who shared half of what he had with the poor. But he was also going to make reparation for what he had done so that he could be reconciled, so that his community, who he had hurt, could reestablish and would reestablish mutual trust with him again. So he went to his community and he gave those who he took from four times what he had taken. And not only was he reconciled with God, but he was also reconciled with the community. In our walk toward eternity, God invites all of us to be reconciled with him through the blood of Christ. All we have to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to change my ways. That's what repentance is. I'm turning away from the other things I had done before, and I'm facing you and only you now. I'm choosing you. But God does not call us to just be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is not the gospel. The gospel is, I want you to be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want you to be in a personal relationship with the body of Christ as well, with the community, with other people as well. How easy would it be to say, man, I love God, but I don't want to be around people, right? That's not Christianity. Christianity is, I'm in a relationship with God, I worship Jesus Christ, but I walk with the community. We cannot reject the community that we see, because Jesus says, how can you say you love me if you don't love the people who you can see when you cannot see me? We must also be in right relationship with every other person whom we encounter in our walk toward eternity. Which means what? Which means we need to make things right for those that we have offended, for those that we have hurt through our sins of commission or through our sins of omission. How many people come into relationship with God as they get older, and all of a sudden they're aware of, man, I've really dropped the ball. Like, I really dropped the ball with my coworkers. I worked at this place for 20 years, and yeah, I went to church for all those years, and maybe I encountered Jesus Christ 10 years ago, but since I encountered Jesus Christ, not once have I fulfilled the demands of discipleship and shared Jesus Christ in my workplace environment. And now this person wants nothing to do with God. Now I see on social media, this person is bashing Jesus. And this person doesn't want to listen to me. And when I go to this person says, yeah, you know, you've had a long time to share Jesus with me, but you never did. So why should I listen to you now? It's kind of late. It's kind of late to share the gospel with me now. So what do? We have to make it right. I'm sorry. I'm going to change my ways. But we also need to put our energy and our time where our mouth is. How can I make it right? Can I take you to Bible study with me? Can I come and pick you up? Can I lose time that belongs to me and give it to you in such a way that we can try to reestablish mutual trust, because I'm going back to give you what I did not give you in the past? How many relationships have been broken up because someone said, you know what? I don't have time for you right now. I want to hang out with my friends. And the spouse is at home, kids, working, busy, and tired, and saying, when are you going to give me attention? And then what happens? That spouse says, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm going to change my way. But I've also got to pay my reparation for what I've done to you. Like, when will it work for you? What can I do for you and I? What's going to work for us? I'm willing to give you time. I'm willing to give you everything that I have to make this relationship work. An apology is not enough. We have to give the apology. We must make reformation. And we have to repair the injuries that we have caused. Whenever we take serious the demands of discipleship and not only reconcile first and foremost with our Savior through our repentance and reformation within, but also whenever we make it right with our neighbor, with the body of Christ, then and only then do we open ourselves up to truly abide in relationship with God on His terms. And the great gift is this. If we can abide in relationship with God, with Jesus, and the messy, imperfect body of Jesus Christ in the community on earth, then the Lord would give us the grace to persevere and remain in relationship with Jesus and the body of Christ in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity.